The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight inspiring people doing amazing things in their rural communities to make agriculture stronger. So today's special guest, I've been social media friends with her for a bajillion years, and neither one of us can remember even how we initially even connected, but it's been really great to see this guest and how her life has changed and evolved over time and how she's built her social media platform and the impact that she's made just in her family life and the social media community. So today I'd like to welcome Thea Larson to the show. And I do want to say before I forget that not only is she a guest on my show, but next week I will be a guest on hers. And so I would encourage you guys to listen to both conversations back to back because I have a feeling that the ideas are going to build upon themselves. And so Thea, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have a conversation. I know I'm excited to do these back-to-back little conversations. What a fun, it's kind of like a, what do they call it when they have like Grey's Anatomy? They do like split episodes, crossover. We're having a crossover.
Yes, crossover. Yes, I'm excited too. And you're such a wealth of just inspiration on social media. There's so many things that you post that I think, man, she gets what my life is about. Like she captures just kind of the chaos of being a working mom and having a ranch and doing all the things. So I guess just to start, can you tell everybody like who you are, where you live, and what you do?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for such kind words. You know, when you're creating content and you're putting it out in the world and you're like, you know, you get a like or whatever, but it's nice to know that it's really connecting with people because that is so incredibly important to me. And that's really one of the reasons I feel like I've always been a bit of an extroverted extrovert. So I know we had to have connected. Like I was like, it was like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook on the early days. Like I was all in before, you know, we ever knew about content creation or anything like that. But it wasn't until I went from, I was the GM for the Greeley Stampede, which is a large 4th of July rodeo, PRCA rodeo in Colorado. And I went from a pretty busy, very connected lifestyle, but it was just me and it was just in my career and I was going 90 miles an hour when I met my husband at the National Western Stock Show. And then it was a very fast path to, well, hey, let's get married and have kids and you can move out to rural Nebraska, which I always thought. I grew up in a small town, a quote unquote small town in northern Idaho of about 6,000 people. And so moving to Nebraska where there's like 100 people it was like, wow. And so I went from this like CEO position to working for myself. Like it was a whole change. And the biggest part of that is how disconnected and isolated I felt. So I started the Cowgirls Over Coffee Instagram, which in the early days, that was like 2015. And that wasn't like even my first iteration on Instagram, but I just wanted to connect with people and just seeing how it has grown from there. And I mean, gosh, my best friend I met on We met on Twitter. Like, it's embarrassing to think of our Twitter handles back in the day. But from there, that's really what grew Cowgirls Over Coffee. And I never wanted to be, I never had it in my head to be, even back then there weren't like quote unquote influencers, right? But I always wanted to connect. And I remember like just trying to reach out and highlight things that everyone was doing. So the iteration of that into Cowgirls Over Coffee and what it is today, as far as the brand and the community, it just, I didn't know that was the path I was on, but it completely makes sense now. And in Cowgirls Over Coffee, obviously I'm sharing a lot of content. We do some workshops and that sort of thing. But the primary thing that we do is we have the membership. And so it's a monthly membership and we just connect with other Western and rural women. And the premise of that is really building your capacity, your consistency, and your connection in order to live well at that intersection of homemaking and ambition, because you understand this being an all or nothing girly, like you can't do just one thing, right? We have to do all the things and do them well. And I think that you can find a path to navigate that, navigate really high demand lifestyles, competing priorities, but you're not going to do it without a lot of work and a lot of support. So that's kind of where Cowgirls Over Coffee comes in.
I love it. And I'm sure it's very rewarding to work with other women in similar walks of life that are going through. There's probably like a common theme you see that like we all have the same challenges that you can kind of lean on each other to overcome. And I guess before we started recording, you had mentioned that it's the fall season. In your group, you're kind of wrapping up a season of progress and moving into a season of presence. Can you talk a little bit about what that even means and how we can apply that into our lives?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I can just get up on a soapbox and talk about this all day. So I found that one of the things I had to do for myself was create a framework that I could work in to manage all the things, like the tasks and the priorities, and still handle like the day-to-day demands. Cause you know, as like a mother, a business owner, a rancher, like we have a lot of things that are non-negotiable that have to happen. Right. So then also creating the margin for the dreams I have for myself, or to build a business, or how I want to be a leader in my community, I had to create a framework for that. And I am not naturally inclined to do what I need to do because it needs done. Yeah. I tend to be a little bit of a rebel. I want to think the rules don't apply to me, but they do. So I came up with this system, and that's what I brought into the Cowgirls Over Coffee membership, where we break the year into 5 seasons. And we have seasons of progress, where we are prioritizing our long-term goals over the daily demands. Not that one is more important than the other. I think that often gets twisted when we talk about priorities. I think priorities have to be dynamic and shifting if we're going to make progress in all of the areas that we want to make progress in. So in the fall, August, September, and October, we're really prioritizing our long-term goals and big actions and being consistent in the things where we want to move the needle on, like your legacy goals, like the big things you want to do in your operation, any sort of scaling goals. Goals you have in your business. And sometimes that means that maybe we're going to have pizza for dinner, right, in this season.
Yeah.
But then also as we shift into November and December, we move into a holiday season. And that is a season of presence. And it's really just about embracing the natural ebb and flow of the world. Like, this is the way God made the world to work in seasons. And if we work with that instead of against that, even though I tend to be like naturally a salmon going upstream, like I feel like I have to make it harder on myself.
Yeah.
But as we move into the holiday season, like just allowing things to go on autopilot. So we did all of our progress work in the fall. We can let things kind of sit on the back burner and simmer a bit and really soak up the joy and the presence and the family time, so that we never are rushing through or multitasking our way through a season, because that's where I find we get stuck in that, like, I'm busy and I'm not getting anything done, or I don't know where the days went. I think that's the worst case scenario, is when you look up at the end of the year and you're like, I don't even know what I did.
Yeah.
And so implementing the ebb and flow of the seasons really helps us to like put a stake in the ground and say, this happened, I did this, you know, from there.
So what would the 5 seasons be then throughout the year?
So we do, starting in fall, August, September, and October, our fall season of progress. Then we do November and December, a season of presence for the holiday season. Then January and February is a season of priming with the winter and just like setting our goals. We really use that clean slate of the new year to set more even just not even so much goals, but I like to set initiatives because for me, that feels more inclusive and I can put like a heading on something and then I know there's an order of operations in there. So it's a goal with a plan for the year. March, April, and May is spring. And that's a season of progress where we have made the plan and we've set the initiatives and then we're going to do the things. Then we back off again in summer. So June and July is summer. And that's another season of presence and fun because our kids are out of school and we're not trying to fight the chaos of summer. We're trying to work with it. And then we go back into fall again with another season of progress when, again, routines are shifting. Fall is such a great shift. It's really my favorite season because I think it's the time. It's one season where we really can note, aside from like the first of the year where we get that clean slate feeling. Right. But the shift in fall, even if you don't have kids in schools, routines are coming back online. We're moving out of the chaos in summer. For me, it feels really good because I tend to be more chaos-led, if you will. Like that's my natural tendency. And so, you know, I'm just a big toddler and I need a snack and a nap, you know, and snuggle. Right. It'll be okay. So after summer, I feel like fall gives me my snack and my nap. And then the holiday season gives me my snuggle and I'm ready for the new year.
Right. Well, it kind of lines up with farming too. You're in a season of harvest and then it's like, we don't immediately start planting new seeds. It's like, okay, let it breathe a little bit. Where were you at? How do you reevaluate? I mean, that's just kind of listening to that. I'm like, that's kind of how I operate. And I didn't even know that was a thing. Like I built a new business this year. And so like first half of the year was crazy because I knew kids were going to be out of school by May. So I needed to get a whole bunch done of like content created and all the building blocks because summer was going to be really hard. My approach needed to be different. And then, yeah, now getting into the fall, looking back, we've launched the business on June 1st and it was like, okay, now I'm seeing the harvest of like those long days. And like, hopefully by wintertime, we can kind of get into an autopilot of, okay, we planted all the seeds and now it's working. Let's let it just breathe and see where we're at and reevaluate for January.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
So when you say presence, I have a hard time like taking the pedal off the metal of where I feel like, oh, I'm not growing the business. Like what systems are you putting in place so you can be more present during the holiday season?
So for me, I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. And I found that when, especially when I first had the boys and I was a person who I've always had like more capacity. I'm sure you get this. Like for some reason, the women I attract into my world are all like this. You've always been the woman that can do 10 things to everyone else's 2 things. Yep. And so going into motherhood, I was like, oh, I know it's going to be hard, but even if I only can do two things, I'm going to still be at the same as everybody else. And it was like, all bets are off. It was like going from speaking English to speaking Cantonese. And I had like I had no context clues whatsoever as far as my capacity. And I was so used to just going so hard. And it felt like the rug had been pulled out from underneath me, because it was like, I almost didn't understand my own capacity and my own, like what I needed. And there's the well-being and the health and your mental situation, which were all things I hadn't navigated. So all of a sudden my strategy is go or go harder. Like it was not working for the first time in my life. And so I had to learn where, coming back to that presence piece, when you have to stand there, and this makes me crazy, this is why I can, you know, the two are the same to me. Yep. You don't have to stand there and fuel your truck, and it's taking forever because your truck has like this huge tank and you're just standing there, and you have to stand there. Cause like, I don't know about you, but like our fuel tanks, you have to hold it, or you can get a rock, but you still better watch or listen because your fuel is going to end up on the ground. And so that's like, I have to stand there while I fuel my truck. And if I don't put the fuel in the truck, and I know we've all heard this fuel analogy before, but instead of focusing on the putting the fuel in the truck, it doesn't just happen, right? Like you got to stand there, and it's boring.
Yep.
Right? Like in my mind, it's boring, but it's necessary. And so when I shifted into my planning and my execution around my goals of seeing as this is a time, what can I do while I'm fueling my truck? Well, I can really enjoy this holiday season. I can make sure that I plan the things. Like the only reason we don't do the things that I wish we would do, quote unquote, as a family, is because I didn't think ahead and plan for them. We absolutely have the time. Like I can make the time to make sure we get to the pumpkin patch, to make sure we are huge Halloween costume people. Yeah. Like I don't know how much longer that will last with my kids, but it's super fun. Like my husband, we're all in, but we're all in on all of the holidays. And so if I see that as like, the world is not, people don't get back to you in this season, right? Like everyone has too much going on. Everyone's very busy. So instead of fighting that busyness, like just sink into it. Like,
yeah.
The world was built to just sink into the winter season, like sink into it. Let the days be like, you have darkness. You cannot be outside doing. And I know that's like probably the number one thing that frustrates my rancher husband and probably all of you as well. So what can we do with this time inside? Like, are we going to sit on watch TV? We're not big on sitting except for football season. My husband's a big football fan, but like we were able to do like more baking with the kids, which also was testing my presence because I would so much rather do something more efficiently than take time. And so forcing myself into a slower pace, if you will, made me so much more mindful of what was going on around me. And I appreciated it all so much more. And then I was so much more well-fueled. Like my energy felt better. I was healthier. My mind wasn't as frazzled. I was able to focus more. When January came and when spring came, when it was time, because like it's just like you said, it's the same cadence. You know, we have calving season, and if we're rolling right into branding season, which just naturally, I love that pace so much more. But understanding that the yin to that yang is the presence and the slowing down. And I guess I just appreciate it more.
It is. Yeah. No, this is great stuff in it. It it occurred to me one time where I was like, oh, why don't we do family vacations, or why do we do? And it's like, oh yeah, I'm the mom. I have to plan it. So, but you, like you said, you have to think in advance and prioritize it. It's like, I've almost learned I have to prioritize and pencil in like self-care. I say it in quotes because it's like, was always the last thing that I would do is take care of myself, you know, but it's like, oh yeah, if I'm like burnt out, then everything else falls apart, the family and the business and, you know, our ranch, like people need me. But yeah, it's being intentional, I think, with your time that you have to pencil it out. Okay. So being in presence, are there things you do to prep? Like I'm thinking cleaning your house, organizing your house, or what do you do then to wrap up the year, put a bow on it and get ready to go into a new year?
Oh my gosh. So this is the part that can get, see, when I started approaching this, when I was like, okay, I need to fix this problem. Like I was like, I can remember laying on the floor in our house, just sobbing. Yeah. And Jesse was like, what do I do with you? And I was like, I don't really know either. So like, just go ahead and go to work. Cause there's I don't have an answer.
No, it's fine.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to live. Like, I don't think there's anything that's going to kill me, but we'll get back to you. But when I was like, okay, I'm going to take my, what I still trusted about my identity and my competence was my ability to take something and look at it and create a strategy around it. So that being said, once I started approaching this like it was a project, if you will, or a business plan, all of a sudden it got way more interesting to me. This is something I can navigate, but it also gets complex. It's simple, but it sounds complex at first blush. So the first part that I figured out was just having like a monthly practice where I would actually sit down and look at things, because I have a tendency to want to wing everything and just figuring it out on the way, because I have all of my life had taught me a very bad habit that I was successful at that.
Yeah.
But when I realized that the jet fuel I have that I'm lucky enough that God gifted me with can be used to much better effect if I use it wisely, instead of just like having, like, I always think there was some video game when I was a kid where like you could hit the NOS button, but you'd run out of NOS. I kind of feel like that's what I was just like hitting the button all the time and ended up exhausted. And so when I started looking at things and really sitting down and not assuming I knew what was coming up, and because I hated when I was like, oh my gosh, I have to order this right away. Because when you live rurally, like Amazon doesn't come in 2 days. Like,
It doesn't happen.
And if you didn't get it at the grocery store, you're not making another 3.5 hour round trip because you forgot something.
Right.
So incorporating this monthly practice has really been what helps me keep the things going. So when I'm in holiday season and we're like, our big projects and our goals are around, you know, Christmas shopping and cutting our Christmas tree or all of the things, having my, we are big Thanksgiving people too. My husband loves to like smoke the turkey. So those are like the big goals, if you will. And then I have these habits and routines that I cultivated like during these present seasons. I'm looking at my habits and routines and I'm like, okay, like a few of my non-negotiables are laundry every single day, even if it's just, you know, even if it's a small amount of laundry folded and put away, dishes every single day. Sometimes if it's a big cooking day, I can run to like, you know, those Instagrams where they're like, they have two dishwashers. I'm like, oh, that is the epitome. Right.
Right. Right.
But doing that every single day is like, that's the baseline of like keeping the house running. That's the things that would get backed up on me. So if I made sure those were keeping running, then other things would happen. So that's how I kind of keep those things running. And then I rely on those systems that I've created habits for myself that are happening, you know, almost automatically when I focus on the bigger projects, when I know, you know, we've got a horse sale coming up or we're in branding season, which tends to be a taxing season. Or if I'm launching the membership for Cowgirls Over Coffee, because that is just, I just feel like I'm talking my face off all the time. Yep. So I'm allowing my systems to kind of work for me. And that's another part of like going back in these seasons is like, we go back to our habits and we're always looking. I love that what gets measured gets managed, and that's the CEO in me. And when I apply my CEO skills to my life, which sounds super complicated, but it's helped me so much because I go back and I reevaluate. I'm like, is this routine working? Is it not? And just taking the judgment out of it too, of thinking, oh, I'm a bad wife because we had pizza, frozen pizza for 3 days this week. It's just information. Like, okay, we had pizza 3 days this week. Why? You know,
right.
Well, we were calving. Okay, great. Well, everybody's fed. So is it ideal? No, it's absolutely not ideal. And is there something I can do in place? Well, I'm going to make sure I freeze more spaghetti next time, you know, like whatever's happening. So I'm usually trying to run those things at the same time. And then I really don't feel like I close out the year. I do. And we do for Cowgirls Over Coffee. We do a free week. It's called, you know, that week between Christmas and New Year's where everybody's like, what is happening? Whatever. Yeah. So we do a 7-day journaling challenge where we're just kind of taking stock of the year before you ever start thinking about it. It's so easy to sink our teeth into like New Year's planning and wanting to set those new goals and everything, but forcing yourself to reflect back on the whole year and let that inform your future goals, I think is another place where you can kind of put a stake in the ground where you don't feel like, oh my gosh, how is it 2025? I thought it was still March of 2020.
Right.
So incorporating some things for me, where things are constantly moving for me, that really helped me stay on track more than being like, okay, I'm closing out the year. It just feels like it's just this dynamic flow that's constantly happening.
Sure.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
What do you think, like in the Cowgirls Over Coffee group, what's something that gets a lot of the women caught up? Like, what's something that you're kind of constantly having to work through with them?
Oh my gosh, that you're not the only one experiencing any of the challenges. Yeah. It's so funny to me because, you know, we have live calls twice a month. And when someone will share something that they're like working on or is really frustrating them, all of the, oh, I do this too. And everyone's always surprised. Everyone is always surprised that they're not the only person, quote unquote, failing in, you know, X area of life. And so just constantly, I'm always reminding people, like, you're not the, like, we're not that special. And I know, like,
right.
We are not that special. And what's really beautiful about it is just like, we're not the only one that's having to deal with this. Like, you can figure it out. Like, this is not a unique set of circumstances where you're allowed to give up. You're going to have to take responsibility and be like, okay, I've got to figure out how to make it work for me.
Right.
So that, and then the second one is like, you can't fall behind. And I think that's the toughest one, is when I realized, like, you can never be ahead or behind. Like, you're always, everything's always flowing and everything's always moving. So if we can, again, take the judgment and shame over, oh, I'm behind. Oh, like, no, you are just right where you're supposed to be. So can you plan better? Can you use your time and your energy and attention more efficiently? Absolutely. But like, you are where you are, and you need to throw out the excuse of I'm behind and the comfort of I'm ahead, because none of those things are lasting. So I'd say those are the two things that I feel like a bit of a broken record. I'm sure the girls in the membership be like, oh, we have a list of things Thea's a broken record on.
Yeah, right, right. Do you feel like some of that stems from social media, like the comparison game, that people feel like everybody else has their lives together and they don't?
Absolutely. Like, that's such an interesting thing, because I hate to even say I'm like pro social media because of the connection. Like, it's such a great tool and resource, but we have to use, like, I feel like it's almost like you should have to get a driver's, like, you have to get your driver's license before you can drive a car, because a car is a tremendous tool in your life, but you can also like kill people with it. So you have to be equipped. I feel that way about social media sometimes. Like, we should have like taken a quick test to make sure that like our heads are in the right space. But I absolutely do. I think that we tend to, it just lends to that maybe it's part of like the negativity bias of our brain where we want to think we're all alone, which right. I mean, there could be a spiritual component to that too. If you're into that sort of thing, like trying to isolate people is a great way to break them down. And so I think that as much as social media can make you feel connected, it could also make you feel disconnected if you fall into that comparison.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, sometimes I love the connections I've made on social media, but sometimes I feel like with the algorithm switching all the time and I'm not seeing the people I used to. And it's like, it's frustrating because it's like you cultivate these amazing relationships and then it's like, oh, where did that person go? Oh yeah, I need to engage with them. So they're back on my feed because I miss seeing that person. I guess you have, as a content creator, and I feel like this can be applied to any business. I know I have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this. What advice would you have for making content that connects with whatever audience you're trying to reach, whether it's customers or just community building or exposure to a brand?
I think that the first thing that you really have to do, regardless of your end goal with your content, is you have to be really clear and understand your own perspective. Mm-hmm. I think you have to know, like, you have to have a unique point of view. You have to have a reason that you're showing up. And I feel like that's knowing, like, that then goes into like digging into your brand identity and your messaging and all those sort of things. But I think once you know what your perspective is, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of the creating of the content because you always know where you're coming from. So you can always take whatever is happening in the world, or you can take whatever message you're wanting to put out, or if you have a new product or something, if you're sharing from your perspective, I think that always deepens the connection. And I think sometimes we battle that with the algorithm wanting to, I feel like we've come through this evolution in content recently too, where there was such a push for consumption. And so we were creating a lot of, you know, trend-based regurgitated content. Yeah. And it's really cute at first, and it pushes you, like it pushes the algorithm. So you're seeing a lot of reach and growth, but there's no connection. There's no deeper meaning because no one's familiar with your perspective or connecting with you. Right. So that would be what I would say with the connection, is really making sure that you understand what your point of view is as a brand and as a person, depending on like where you're coming from, if you have a personal brand and that's part of your product suite.
I guess this would be a follow-up. You're a very multifaceted person, lots of interests. And I've always heard on social media, and I do a terrible job of it, but like niching down and having just like one thing. Like, how do you feel you're able to capture all of the things about yourself into a very like focused message?
Oh my gosh, I'm just not the right person to ask about that. I will say that I feel if you can niche down so that you have a very targeted, like, it's like the old school I help statements. I help X get Z without Y. Sure. I think that there's a piece of that that's very effective. But I personally wonder, especially the way that the content space is evolving, I feel like that's going to fall out of favor as an effective method, because like you mentioned, the connection piece. Mm-hmm. And because we are all multifaceted humans, I feel that it has to come back to a personal brand. And I will say, I have given myself such a hard time trying to, you know, what am I here for? What is my niche? What is the problem I solve? And actually, over the summer, you know, I had my personal account where I shared more lifestyle things. And then I had the Cowgirls Over Coffee account where I was sharing more like tactical strategy things, as well as community-based information. And over the summer, I was like, I can't manage two accounts. I just, it's right. too much. It's stressing me out. So mm-hmm. I stopped posting on my personal account. And then come fall, I was like, you know what? This is what I choose. Like, I get to define what my journey is for my brand and my business. And luckily for me, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm showing up in social now as both a person who is a mother and a rancher, and I have goals. And then I share about the Cowgirls Over Coffee community and the framework and the membership there as well. So I feel like that has actually, it's given me so much more freedom mentally, and like, because I feel like we put ourselves very much in a box when it comes to the content game and content marketing.
Right. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Right now I have, because I have different businesses and different things. I feel super unfocused right now on social media, especially probably Instagram, because I've just been like, I have a lot going on right now, but I'm just going to tell you about all of it. But it is, it's almost like I have to treat, I'm feeling like a shift where it's like, okay, if I'm going to be on this platform, maybe I need to focus on one thing that I feel like will best serve these people. And maybe that looks different than Facebook or TikTok or X or whatever, but I probably way overthink it, but I execute it so poorly anymore because it's just like, well, when you're in a season of a lot of things going on, it's just hard to pick just one. And I feel like I've connected with people over just a really wide variety of things that you're like, I don't know what you people want anymore. But all that to say, that was just like a ramble, but your business has evolved since the beginning over time. I guess, what business advice would you have for people if they're in a season of growth or trying to build their brand and connect with their ideal customer?
I would say the biggest thing is find where you can stay consistent.
Yeah.
Because consistency is king. That's, if that was like one thing that I've learned in adulthood and it keeps smacking me in the face, is consistency. And I really found that in my business as well, is like, you have to, where can you be consistent? Even if you're coming on a new iteration or evolution of your business, or even a full pivot, finding the place in your business that you can remain consistent. I think that is the biggest thing, whether it's like one cornerstone product or one cornerstone brand message. And then looking at that from different angles as you evolve, like, okay, how can I pivot this to serve me in this next iteration? But mm-hmm. you really are very strongly connected to like that one core piece that you can be consistent in. And that's going to require checking in with yourself, you know, probably once a quarter, to be like, okay, what is this goal? Because I think so often we get to chasing these tactics and strategies. And we're like, if I could just have the right reel strategy, if I just could nail my email funnel, if I could just have someone come and redo all the copy on my sales page, we always think we're chasing all of these different things. I think that our efforts get very diluted in that sense. Yeah. And so if we can come back, that way we're being so much more intentional and deliberate about what we're choosing tactically. If we come back to like, okay, what's the core point of this business? And sometimes it's going to be like, okay, this is not the business, right? So how do I leverage this into the next thing if this is something that's not working? Because I'm all for quitting quickly. You know, what do they say? Like, don't chase after sunk money, or like, okay, just however much you have invested in it, don't keep throwing money down that hole, like stop and move on.
Or what's the phrase I say? Fail fast forward. Like, yes. Like figure it out, but don't, yeah, just move on. Like, yeah, I got what you're saying. This time has just flown by for this segment, but I think people are really going to enjoy kind of this part two where we talk about balancing all the things on your podcast. So I guess just to close out the show, can you tell folks, number one, where they can follow you, two, where your podcast, what it's called and when it will air, and information on how folks can join Cowgirls Over Coffee as well.
Absolutely. So everything is housed under Cowgirls Over Coffee. So I'm fairly certain if you just hit Cowgirls Over Coffee into your Google bar or your whatever your Meta AI search thing is happening,
yeah,
that will come up. But on Instagram at Cowgirls Over Coffee, on Threads at Cowgirls Over Coffee, cowgirlsovercoffee.com, everything is there. The membership, we are shifting kind of how everything is. We just launched and opened the membership in September, so that's closed right now. But I am going to be doing, and I'm not sure the exact date just yet, but we're going to be doing a free kind of group planning session, a masterclass on holiday planning, of moving into that presence, so that you can sit down with us in like less than 90 minutes, have a good breakdown of how you want your holiday season to go, and do it as a group. I find that doing things like together makes it a lot more fun, so it doesn't feel like boring planning. So we'll have all the details on the website for that as well.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate everything you're doing, and I encourage anyone listening, go follow Thea. She's just a wealth of inspiration and beautiful pictures and camaraderie, that you're not the only one going through seasons of life where you're pulled in a lot of directions and trying to do all the things and do it well. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope after all these years, one day we get to meet in person.
1,000%. We've come so close, I think, like from your speaking gigs. But
I think so. I think so. One of these days.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the Dusty Trail. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.